Do any of you know the difference between Christ's birth and Christ's baptism? I see no one eager to raise their hands. That's okay. It's not a test. But I did notice one big difference this year as I was studying the texts. At Christmas, the birth announcement came to earth by courier. It was delivered by an angel, backed up by a chorus of heavenly hosts. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among whom God favors. But for the baptism, God sent no emissary, no messenger. God does the announcing. God does it. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. It would appear to God that Christ's baptism is more significant than his birth. It's much too important an event to send a delegate. God does the speaking. Perhaps someone needs to alert Madison Avenue and all the other retailers that they have the wrong holiday. Why would this be? Why would Christ's baptism be a bigger deal than Christmas? Because baptism is the beginning of something really new. And one might say, something quite revolutionary. By contrast, Jesus' birth was old. It was old. As the Apostle Paul put it, Jesus was born under the law. Jesus was born like the rest of us, like you and me. He was born of a woman, born of flesh and blood, born under the rules and constraints of this old, old world. Jesus' birth was into an order that has lasted millions of years, according to evolutionary scientists. But his baptism, this was the beginning of something new, the dawning of a new order. Or as the Apostle Paul says, a new creation. And this newness has come upon us. It was conferred upon us in our baptism. Jesus' baptism led the way to our own. The gift Jesus received from God is the very same gift we receive. The gift of the Spirit, the gift of a power, the power of God to animate our lives in new ways and to do new things. A new creation has taken root in us. But we may be wondering, what is it exactly? What is this creation? And why do we even have to ask? Why is it something that is lost on us? How does a new creation get lost? To appreciate what this creation is, how important and revolutionary it is, it's helpful, again, to contrast it with the old creation. The old order is quite different from the new. It is built on if-thens. It's an order of if-thens. If you do this, then you get that. Martin Luther characterized the old order this way: you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. If you do well, then good things will come to you. The old order is conditional in this way, meaning that the conditions have to be right in order for you to get what you need. If you want to eat, then you have to work for it. If you want people to like you, then you have to be likable. If you want to be a success in life, then you have to do something that people consider valuable and worth rewarding. The old order is an order we're well acquainted with, you and I. We face it every day, every single day. The world preaches it to us like a beating drum. If thens make the world go round, they produce incentives for people to do well and disincentives to doing wrong. If-thens are instrumental in giving us the great marvels of human ingenuity, much of the life we have come to cherish and enjoy. But the if-thens also hem us in. If-thens do not work well for us when we are weak, when we falter, when we are in peril, when we are in any way off our game. I don't know about all of you, but I can see that there are a few gray hairs, not just my own, but I'm getting older. And as I age, I fear that I'm doing less and less well in the if-then scheme. I'm not as vital as I used to be. My body doesn't work as smoothly or efficiently as it once did, and neither does my mind. For instance, I'm not as nimble with technology as I used to be. Okay, true confession. I've never been nimble with technology. Just ask Christine, she'll tell you about that. Give me an internal combustion engine, and I'm fine. But add electronic circuitry, and you've left me in the dust, to say nothing of the computer chip. And iPhones and computers, they're just the beginning of my problems. I meet younger clergy, and more of them leave me sucking air, sucking for wind, when it comes to creativity and productivity and enthusiasm. As I age, I find myself more and more intimidated by the world. It's harder and harder for me to keep up. Am I alone in this? I thought I had a few kindred spirits out there. If-thens work fine as long as you are fine. As long as you are firing on all cylinders, and as long as the world is perfect and just, which of course it isn't. I may be old, older, but I'm a white, middle-class male. Any of you know the game of baseball, the rules of the game of baseball? You know anything about that? Yeah. Well, then you'll appreciate that as a white, middle-class male, I started off life with a stand-up double. I began my life on second base. My destination in life was just one base hit away. That was my inheritance. I meet students at OSU who start life well behind me. If you're a white middle-class woman, they start on first base. They're based behind me. International students from wealthy families at OSU, they're at the plate. They're up at the plate. Poor students of color from the U.S., and increasingly poor people in general, they're still in the dugout. They're just trying to get into the game. Life isn't fair. Life isn't just. But don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean that the if-thens are bad. The old regime is not bad. The if-thens have their place in the world, and they play an important role. Their incentives produce a lot of initiative and ingenuity. They've led us humans to build a breathtaking world. When you think of the natural world and then what we enjoy, it's simply breathtaking. But the if-thens, they get us in the end, you see. In the end, you and I, we all come up short. A world built on if-thens, it turns on us eventually. The creator of the old order, our creator, understands this, understands our predicament and our plight. From the beginning, God has longed for us to trust in our Creator's provision, not in the creation itself. But the if-thens, they've proven too strong for us, too frightening, and frankly, too alluring. In an if-then world, we can appear to control our own destiny. And that's pretty attractive to us, until it isn't. Until it isn't. So God had to reach us in another way, through one who would set our lives on a whole new footing. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And so Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. With Jesus' baptism and with all our baptisms that followed, God has brought a new creation to birth. With this new creation, God has changed the message. And this is what's crucial. With Jesus, the if-thens have been put away, and a new word is spoken. Martin Luther described it well. If the old order says to us, you get what you deserve, the new order in Christ says this, you get what you don't deserve. You get what you don't deserve. You get not because you have somehow earned it or won it or leveraged it from me. No, you get as I gave to you from the very beginning of your life. You get because I give for free, free of charge. I give to you solely from my generous heart, says the Lord. I am the source of your life. I am the guarantee of your life. I am your life. This is the truth the Spirit confers and conveys to us. The Spirit preaches to us this word, the word we have in Christ. And it does so with water. With water. And that's no accident. The water of baptism is a symbol of our rebirth. It is as if we have re-entered the waters of our mother's womb. And from those birthing waters, we are born anew to God, born to the life God wanted for us from the very beginning, but was stolen away from us by our response to all those if-thens, our fear, our ambition, our pride. A new life has been conferred upon us. It has begun to take root. Love, true love this time, love without conditions, is now possible for you and me. Because we have been loved beyond conditions, love beyond our performance, beyond scorekeeping. We have been loved beyond measure. This is why baptism is so important to God. Too important to send a messenger into our world to get the ball rolling. God must do the speaking. It can be hard to believe that we are loved this much by our Creator, beyond all if-thens, beyond all if-thens. There are many things in life that cause us to doubt this. The if-thens, they're still asserting themselves. They're still throwing their weight around. But in Christ, God is speaking a new word, a strong word, a stronger word, a word that the if-thens cannot silence. You are my son. You are my daughter, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Amen.